Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Last week, the Circle Cinema premiered a European documentary film set here in Tulsa at the Open Arms Youth Project, a welcoming place for Tulsa's teenaged LGBT population. The film, Misfits, which had its world premiere this past spring at the Berlin Film Festival, is directed by Scandinavian documentary filmmaker Yannick Splitsboel, whose credits include four other documentaries and several documentary shorts. Misfits follows three teenage members of Tulsa's LGBTQ community who, despite slowly changing attitudes, have experienced a host of discrimination and bullying at schools, disapproval and rejection at home. Larissa is a 17-year-old lesbian experimenting with her gender, was kicked out of her home and left school due to bullying. We meet her as she's trying to find her way in an alternative school. Ben is a gay 19-year-old whose family has reconciled with his sexuality after initial disapproval. The film follows his aspirations. And finally, Dee, a 16-year-old living on his own, a victim of sexual abuse who's trying to earn money to live and get an education with absolutely no support. The film is a poignant and vivid reminder of youth and the universal angst of growing up, along with the special challenges that these youths face. I spoke with director Yannick Splitsboel and Open Arms Youth Project board president Matt Sumner last week. Yannick and Matt, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yannick, you're a Danish filmmaker. Most of your films have been in Europe. How did you end up coming to Tulsa to do a film about the gay and lesbian and transgendered population, youthful population here in Tulsa?
Well, I read an article in the New York Times about a place called OYP, and it was, you know, squeezed in between two churches in another place I didn't know called Tulsa, Oklahoma. Well, I mean, I heard about Tulsa, but, you know, never sort of giving it a thought. So I got in contact with Tim Gillian at OYP. I found an email address, and I sent an email like, "Hi, my name's Yannick. I'm a Danish filmmaker, and I'd like to come and visit." And that's basically what I wrote.
And surprisingly, he responded.
Well, he did, actually. You know, I mean, I felt a bit secure because I had just another film of mine called How Are You just premiered in Berlin. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of a major success. So I felt, you know, I felt good, you know. So I was like, well, he's not going to turn me down, maybe, you know. So, and he didn't. So,
What was it about this particular place? Other than, was the article set here in Tulsa too?
Yeah. I mean, that was about OYP. Uh-huh. You know, I don't know. It just made me curious. I mean, there were different things that made me, like. I mean, first of all, I think it's every European filmmaker's dream to at one point, you know, do a film in the U.S. And especially for my, you know, I can only speak for myself. I really wanted to go to this part of the U.S. because it's so visual, you know, it's very cinematographic. And then I got curious, you know, how is it to live, you know, among 2,000 churches and you know, and you have this presence of, you know, of religion every day, and even more so when you're a kid and you're 13, 14 years old and you're sort of an outsider and you decide that, well, I'm going to have my life here anyways, I'm not going to wait till I'm 18 or 19, and I can move. So, yeah, so there were, you know, different elements that just made me curious.
Yeah. Now, Matt, what was the reaction of Open Arms Youth Project? First of all, for those who don't know Open Arms Youth Project, tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, the Open Arms Youth Project fosters an environment for youth to come in and be who they are. We bring lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning youth and their friends together to build a peer-based community that empowers them to end isolation, create a progressive youth voice, increase well-being and self-esteem, and change the communities in which they live. We like to do that by offering education, advocacy, recreation, information, and leadership opportunities.
It's basically a place for them to hang out and really sort of talk about their situation, which mm-hmm. in many cases is pretty dire. And I'm sure, Yannick, as you eventually found three subjects to base your film on, and I don't know if the first opening scenes of the film are at the gay pride parade where you have lots of, you know, protesters with their signs up. Was that your first shooting, or did that just end up as the first scene?
No, that just ended up as the first scene. I you know, I mean, there's several things when you start a documentary project. I mean, I had a lot of scenes in my head, and then I came to Tulsa, and the first time I visited the club was a Saturday night, and it was very noisy. The music was very loud. The kids were like all over the place, chasing each other, you know, shouting and screaming and playing pool and dancing, what have you. And I was like, oh, what did I do? Why am I here? You know, I was like, this is a youth club, and obviously, you know, and basically that's what it is. And I was like, yeah, but I mean, how, you know, I was thinking, how can I make a film, you know, about this? And then I started, you know, talking to different kids who maybe wanted to be in the film. And then Thursday night, I went to the club again, and where they have the talks. And I was like, okay, now I know that I have a film, because I mean those talks are so strong, you know, and the way they actually interact with each other, you know, they're not just waiting. I mean, there's a grown up there. There's a sort of a moderator or facilitator, but they actually, you know, they do it.
They're engaging
exactly,
with one another.
Exactly, yeah, and that was very powerful. But I must say, you know, I've sat down with a lot of characters, like 15 different characters, and I heard some quite heavy stories, you know. I mean, really, you know, the things these kids go through, you know, just because they are who they are. I mean, that, you know, that just broke my heart.
You know, when you at least learn one new thing in a film, I think it's done its job. And one of the small, insignificant ways we have built our laws, which discriminate against some of these kids, is that just blew my mind, was the idea that, you know, if you're gay or lesbian or transgendered and you're bullied in school to the point where you have to leave school, when you're 16, you can't get a driver's license because of our laws, which says you have to be enrolled in school to get a driver's license. Mm-hmm. And it just suddenly clicked to me. It's like, if because of who you are, you're forced out of a school, the state turns around and says, okay, you can't drive. And one of your subjects is in exactly that circumstance.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, basically, you know, his biggest dream was to get a bicycle, you know. which is fine, but, you know, it's.
And, of course, as you well know, coming here from Europe, it's like, well, people walk a lot of places, but here, this is a car-centric culture.
That was one of the other shocks I got. I was like, okay, these kids are always in cars. but, I mean, I think I solved it pretty well, actually, in
the film. You did the typical sitting across the seat shot, but you also had some hood shots.
But I mean, you know, not so much, you know, about filming, how to film inside the car. Uh-huh. I mean, I've done that loads of times. No, it's more I turned the cars into confession rooms, you know.
Right.
And I think that works pretty well.
Yeah. Well, how did you come about finding your subjects? The film focuses on three main subjects: Larissa, who's at the time was age 17, Ben, who was 19, going on 20 at some point because he was said he was 20.
Yeah, and also 21, I think he mentioned at one point. Yeah.
Yeah, and then a young man named Dee,
who's
age 16.
Yeah,
and both Larissa and Dee were really poignant stories that sort of point out, I think, the point you were trying to get across. Larissa, bullied out of her school, kicked out of her home when she announced that she was lesbian and perhaps transgendered. She was still questioning that at that particular point. How did you determine to focus on them?
Well, I mean, first of all, I at one point I decided to focus on what these kids, you know, what kind of development could they have through the film. And I obviously, you know, I did move to Tulsa and stayed here for a year. I went back and forth like six times. So it would have to be a development that, you know, that not necessarily was something that would happen tomorrow. You know, I needed it to be sort of a slow development, you know, one way or another. And then, you know, I sat down and I sort of looked at all my characters and I was like, okay, Larissa, she needs to leave her family in order to get a life. Dee is looking for a family so he can get a life. Mm-hmm. And Ben needs to make peace with his family so he can you know, get a life. I think these three characters, they kind of have the same problem, you know, basically.
Now, through
that they solve in the film.
Yeah, through the filming, yeah. Did you have more than those three subjects initially, or?
Yeah, I had I had a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was one particular guy that I really liked, but his parents didn't know that he went to the club. And I was like, okay, maybe it's not, you know, maybe I can't film you. You know, he was 15. And he was like, oh, my parents don't care. I said, well, I think maybe they will. And, you know, and I was like, I can't go, you know, I can't go to your parents and tell them, you know, what you don't want to tell them or what you, you know, don't dare to tell them. So there was a couple of those situations. And then there was, you know, other characters where I liked them in the beginning. Their stories were good. But because, you know, because of financial reasons, because of the whole, you know, it takes time to put together a documentary like this. They would basically outlive their stories while I was in Europe. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so I had to say, I'm sorry, but, you know, we need to find a new one. And actually, just the day before we started filming sort of the actual film, I encountered Dee at the club. So that was, you know, so that was a lucky strike.
Yeah.
I didn't even know him.
Yeah, Dee was, his story was especially poignant. He's 16. He's living on his own in an apartment where at the first time we meet him, he doesn't even have electricity in the apartment because he has no money. He has no transportation. He walks. And I'm thinking from what it looks like, he walks probably at least 2 to 3 miles.
He walks, yeah. That was a long
least,
walk.
Yeah.
We walked with him, so yeah.
Just from seeing the scenery as you've had the montage of walking scenes, I would say he's walking multiple miles to get to Open Arms Youth Project. So you can see how important this is to him. There must be some amazing things happening at Open Arms.
Yeah, we do offer and open our arms to everybody that walks in. You know, we tailor to ages of 14 to 20. And it's important to us, and especially, you know, hearing all these different stories. These are just three stories out of thousands of kids that have come through the doors over the last, you know, 13 years. It's been truly amazing. And, you know, I had a unique opportunity to actually go to the center when I was growing up, and then when I came an adult and moved away to Oklahoma City for a little bit and came back here to see that the organization is still strong and that it's much needed within the community, is really neat to see that.
What sort of difference did it make in your life, Matt?
Oh my gosh. You know, I wouldn't even be the same person today. It's really weird. You know, most times, you know, things progress within generations, and I see that over the last few years, things have moved so forward and marched on with our nation with the ruling on Friday. Mm-hmm. And it's been amazing to see that progress. And what's changed in my life is I met people that I could relate to. You know, I grew up in a Christian household, and everything was fine. I had a very loving family, and I knew my family would always love me, but I didn't feel comfortable with myself in order to kind of approach them about that. And so I, when I was in high school, I was told about this organization, went up there for a few times, and it was absolutely incredible. People were just open arms, and we truly live up to our name. And I was able to express with them the importance of this organization. You know, if I had not had this outlet, then there's no telling where I could be today.
And I would imagine that the organization welcomes a whole range of gamut where you have people who have made their sexuality decision or have come to terms with it, let's just put it that way. And then there are those who are unsure at mm-hmm. every step of the way. I know one of the, I think it's Larissa, is she's not sure if she's transgendered or not, and she knows she's lesbian. She's not sure if that's how she's going to go or not, and you explore that in the film.
Well, I mean, Dee too, right?
Yeah, you know, Dee too.
He's, you know, at one point he calls himself pansexual, mm-hmm. so that was like, you know, the N word for some time in Europe after the film. They're like, well, you know, pansexual. Sounds cool.
Now Ben is the third subject of the film. He's a little older, and we meet him in a really remarkable scene in which he's with his family, his entire family, and you can just feel the tension in the room. And he was rejected, and it looks like his family reconciliated with his decision. His mother seemed to know, but the rest of the family was not accepting at first. And I don't know where this happened in the filming process, but the tension was palpable on the screen.
That was the first scene I shot with that family.
You know? Really?
Yeah, that was the absolute first scene I shot, and it was a very, very long scene. It was like 60 minutes. And everyone was like crying. I mean, me too, obviously. And I remember Gage came up to me afterwards and hugged me and said, "Oh, thank you. I really needed this, you know." And I was like, "I want this family in the film," and also because it shows how important it is, you know, that we talk together, and, you know, that we open arms, but you know, that we not afraid to talk about, you know, our, you know.
And you could see at the very beginning of the scene how difficult it was for that family to talk about their circumstances. And it's kind of like, we know how things go and we're kind of dealing with it, but we don't want to talk about it. And eventually, I assume, as you just kept the cameras rolling to fill the silence, basically, they start coming out. And his older brother is, you know, at the very opening scenes, you can just see the older brother's like, "I'd rather be anywhere else in the world than this place right now." And then as we see them through the film, you know, they seem to have a pretty good relationship. And there's a interesting scene at the end of the film where they don't really spell it out, but it's almost like he's helping his younger brother help defend himself, defend himself.
Yeah. Yeah, I must say, you know, I mean, I love all the scenes in the film, but I mean, I have some of my favorite scenes. Definitely the scenes with the two brothers. I mean, you know, I mean, and that's, you know, the conversations they have in the car, you know, I mean, I couldn't write that dialogue. I mean, that would be impossible, you know. It's so honest, you know, it's so deeply felt, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it's so typically teenager too. I mean, that's the other thing which I think is really good is, you know, they're, you know, Ben is at a fast food job and he's basically complaining about the stupid customers he has to deal with every day, which all teenagers do.
Yeah, that was another aspect of the film. You know, we decided to go with, at an early stage of the film, I decided that I would not have a scene without the kids. You know, no grown-ups alone. So that was a pretty important decision, I think.
There is a remarkable scene, and there's also some audio cuts through the film, which I assume you went to a less than open and affirming sort of congregation here in the area. And there's some really remarkable footage, which you know, you're hearing this fire and brimstone sort of sermon, and you're taking these reaction shots in the congregation to all these kids in the congregation. How did that come about?
Well, basically, you know, that was the biggest problem, actually, I had. I mean, you know, this is not a film about religion as such, and it's, I mean, I don't want to, you know, demonize religion at all. But, you know, so many of the kids, I mean, they talk about God, you know, God didn't do this, God didn't do that, he didn't even give me this is why he didn't give me a license, you know, whatever. I mean, there are many, many ways of, you know. So, I mean, many of these, they actually do believe in God, but there's no room for them, you know, in the church because they are homosexual, transgender, mm-hmm. whatever. And since I decided I would only go with the kids where they went, they obviously did not go to a place where they would be bullied or where they were not welcome. So, you know, so they wouldn't take me there. And I was like, okay, but we need one way or another to show, you know, that particular environment in Tulsa as well, you know, what are they up against? And so we contacted different churches and they were all kind of, they didn't want to talk to us. And this particular church said yes. Hmm. And he was very sort of, he wanted to know what it was and, you know, we had to sign a release form, but he was okay with it.
Hmm. Well, the three characters really, through the course of the film, you can just see some of their issues. Larissa, she's living in an apartment with a girlfriend, kicked out of her house, bullied out of school. She's during the film, she looks like she's attending street school and trying to get through. But what I really found interesting was, you know, these kids, they have big dreams. And especially a kid like Dee, who is living on his own. And, you know, he's using a flashlight for lights at times when the electricity's not on. He's basically on his own at a time when he really shouldn't be on his own yet. And, you know, thinks nothing about walking miles to do things. He says, "I want to get my GRD." I says, "I've got a plan. All I need is I need to find a birth certificate. I mean, that was. Can you imagine that was the biggest sort of drawback? Is he can't get a birth certificate, even get an ID to move forward.
And that happens more often than people probably recognize. And we see kids come in all the time like that. And it's one of those things. When I attended the center, I don't know if it's less frequent or not, or I just wasn't aware of it when I was there. But it's small stories and just things like that I guess we just don't pay attention to as a community. And I think it's important to have things like this as an outlet to kind of help facilitate, if you can't find your birth certificate because you've been kicked out of your house, then, hey, maybe you can go here and then maybe get that for you.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that I came away from the film. I know there were probably horrific stories that you heard that probably didn't go into the film, and bullying and brutality is something these kids really have a great courage about.
I have to say that a lot of it actually, a lot of the stories I heard, the worst stories took place in the family, mm-hmm. and that makes it even worse. Mm-hmm. It's like the place where you should feel home, at home and safe and loved, is a place where you don't dare to be,
Yeah,
and that's hard.
Yeah, it is hard. But what I found was these subjects had this great courage about these sort of things that would really, just totally destroy most people. They have this great courage and great fortitude and great resilience, but it's these little slights trying to find a birth certificate when nobody in the family wants to help you. Mm-hmm. All these sort of little extra legal sort of situations that's really struck me as those are the straws that break the camel's back, mm-hmm. really. Yeah.
And a lot of our homeless youth population are members of the gay, lesbian, and transgender Christian community because mm-hmm. they're kicked out of their house. I mean, they're young, they're youth, they're 16, 17, now fending for themselves. They may not have a job. They may not have transportation to get places. So it's incredible.
Yeah. Well, during the course of the film, D does find contact with his father, who he'd always been told that was not worth visiting, not knowing, and he found out he was. And his quest was to basically get some sort of a form of transportation, and it was a bicycle. And I guess he ran into the people, the Hub, which again... is another great nonprofit, and they were able to fit them out with a bicycle. So, where are these subjects today? Can you tell me about how they're doing now?
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, without being a spoiler, yeah. We want people to go and see the film,
yeah,
right?
Right.
Yeah, no, they're all doing good. So, uh-huh. and moved on, and I'm very happy to be able to say that, yeah.
My guest today is Yannick Splitsboel, and who's the film director of and principal behind Misfits, which was filmed here in Tulsa at the Open Arms Youth Project. And my other guest is the board chair, who went to Open Arms years ago, Matt Sumner. And the premiere took place earlier at the Circle Cinema. And I guess this is now on the film circuit, is a film festival circuit?
Yeah, the film had its world premiere at the Berlin Film Festival in February, where we had four sold out screenings and five nominations.
Great.
So that was pretty good.
So this the reaction to the film has been really good.
We were blown away, and this is my number 61 interview since since the premiere. So yeah, no, it's the film is doing very well. It's all over the world.
What's the reaction of the European press to this film here in Tulsa? I'm just curious. Is it the curiosity factor about this sort of Western, the typical buckle the Bible Belt mentality sort of thing?
I think people love the film because it's a very honest coming of age film, and regardless sexuality, we have all been teenagers, we have all been kids, and we have all been sort of questioning life,
who we are, what we're going to do.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. That's the
and so many people after the premiere in Berlin, they would come up to me and they said, oh man, I'd completely forgotten how it was, and how it meant it's been fantastic to do the film, and the whole the whole premiere and the response to the film has just blown me away. Actually, and it's going very fast. You know, the whole thing. So.
I can't imagine living with a film like that for a year or two, and you know,
you're, 4 years.
4 years, excuse me, and you know, all the principal photography, all the editing, and sort of figuring out what your story arc is going to be, and seeing that sort of coming of age element where it's like. You know, I'm sure you're getting life flashes all the time of just sort of, oh, I remember that. Oh, because I was doing that just watching the film. It's like, oh, I remember that age. And you know, there's a little bit of a cringe factor at times.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I mean, you know, I'd go home, you know, and I'd think, oh, his reaction was completely, you know, as mine was when I was 14 or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I can totally see myself in the film. Which was also one of the reasons why I sent an email, you know, in the first place.
Yeah, and Matt, I would assume same for you. Viewing the film.
Yes, yeah, you know the scene where everybody, the whole family is on the sofa, that essentially, you know, really spoke to me because that's basically what I went through with my family. I was sitting there, you know, at the kitchen table with my family, having that same conversation, and at the end of it, it just boiled down to, "We love you. We will always love you. We love who you are," and it really spoke to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a really powerful film, and I think it's important for people to see, again, wherever you are, because it reminds us that we're all, these are essentially human experiences these kids are experiencing.
Well, I mean, the film has been, you know, it'll show in Ireland, in the U.S., in Finland, in Japan, in China, in Korea, in France, and, mm-hmm. you know, so, yeah.
And hopefully it will come back to the Circle Cinema for an engagement.
It will, yeah. It will, definitely, yeah.
All right.
Maybe even for some days, yeah.
All right, well, Matt and Yannick, thank you very much for your time and congratulations on the film.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Documentary film director Yannick Splitsboel and Open Arms Youth Project Board President Matt Sumner speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa about Splitsboel's new film, Misfits, filmed here in Tulsa. For more information about the Open Arms Project, you can visit their website at openarmsproject.org. For more information on the film, which is currently on the film festival circuit, you can visit sontagpictures.com. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.
The University of Tulsa welcomes the Greater Tulsa community to a wide array of athletic events, artistic performances, exhibitions, academic lectures, and symposia held on campus. Our public events are open to all. Requests for accommodation of disabilities may be directed to Dr. Tawny Taylor at 918-631-2315. To ensure availability of an interpreter, 5 to 7 days' notice is needed. 48 hours is recommended for all other accommodations.